Yo, 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 it's Ab Soul, man, a.k.a. KRS-2. Yeah. And I'm chilling with the homie Chuck Dizzle, homegrown radio head flush.
This episode of Homegrown Radio is brought to you by
Bevel. Man, we ain't got no damn sponsors, man. Look, Homegrown Radio 2017, new year. Hey, that's a hell of a way to just cut in. Like, damn, nobody give a fuck about us right now.
No, they don't.
We trying, though. Hey, new year, though. Like,
hey, happy 2017, everybody that rock with us. Homegrown is stronger than ever.
Yo, it's been a crazy, crazy year.
It's been a crazy 2.5 years.
What you mean?
2.5 years, life is different from you.
What do you think has changed in the last 2 years on your perspective? Because I know what's on mine.
I think in the last 2 years, I've had more insight on what it is that we do, what it is that we want to do, and I've had more insight on how things work.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha,
me
gotcha.
Personally, I have personally had probably, other than being on tour with all the homies, like yeah. G and K-Dot and like Quiz.
And that's
like,
years ago.
That was like 5 years ago when I was on tour. E-40, we was all on tour together. Right. This has probably been the best like 2.5 years of my life.
Yeah, okay, real quick. And a lot of people may or may not know Homegrown Radio, the early days, whatever the case may be. But I wanted this to be the perfect opportunity to kind of like hit that reset button. Because like you said, things have changed in the last 2 years. But I feel like 2017 is the perfect opportunity to start fresh on what we feel like we need to be doing, what our expectations are for not only the brand, for the show, whatever the case may be, for Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, and moving forward. So what do you feel like? Well, first of all, this is Homegrown Radio. And this is what I want to kind of talk about, too. What the fuck is this? Do we call ourselves a podcast now? I mean, since that's kind of evolving now, the world of...
It's not...
We started off with mixed shows. Like,
yes.
Homegrown Radio was a mixed show. It evolved from college radio, me doing my shit, you coming on board from Cerritos College. I was at Long Beach State. We linked up, figured this shit out, did it out of the bedroom. It was a... Well, let me rephrase. I want to say it like that. Did the show out of the bedroom.
You fucked up.
Did the show out of the bedroom with... A live mixed show, but now things are turning as more of like an on-demand type of thing.
Well, the thing is, what I want people to do is I want them to fuck with us when they have an opportunity to. I don't want people to be limited to listening to us only on Thursday night from 8 to 10 o'clock at
night,
or whatever. Like if you fuck with us, fuck with us,
right?
Whenever you can.
Got you. You feel like the live show.
The live show is not necessarily important to me.
Gotcha.
Like Salas said something.
And shout out to Salas.
Shout out to Salas. I don't know.
Salas be dropping gems all the time. And I feel like we don't give him enough credit. But we got to give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah.
We got to give him a little bit of credit.
Ish. Yeah.
All right. So that's about it.
Yeah.
That's all you gonna get.
That's
bro.
All the run he getting right now.
Got you.
So, fuck him.
For the record.
But. I think that Homegrown is us.
Gotcha.
It always has been us. Mm-hmm. We depended on guests. We've depended on music. We depended on new heat. We depended on inbox music. We depended on a lot of things to make our show when in real life people just fuck with us.
Gotcha.
And they fuck with our message. Our message, no matter how it delivered, is getting delivered. So... Period. That's what it is. If y'all rock with us, y'all fuck with Homegrown, this is what it is. This is what we doing.
Yeah.
The message is still there. Y'all can still hit us up. We still going to hit you back. You can still submit music. We still going to fuck with your music.
Absolutely.
We still going to champion our home team. Mm-hmm. We going to let you champion your home team, wherever Homegrown may be for you.
Got that flag there.
The problem is you can get it music anywhere.
Right. So it's not. You don't have to worry about finding the songs you want to hear. It's not about breaking music on Thursday nights anymore.
No.
You can get it from the platform, from Homegrown Radio.
You can get music. You can get the new shit from us.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get it for however you want to get it.
You're going to find it. You're going to get it.
You can find it,
yeah.
But all that matters is the message.
Yeah.
If we mention it to you, we say, hey, this is something you need to look out for. Hey, this is the new person that's on the rise. Hey, you know what? You need to go check out a new High Tone project.
Right.
Hey, you know what? You need to check out Nick Grant.
Right.
That's what's important.
Right. Shout out to G Perico, whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
Whether we're interviewing somebody or shouting them out or whatever the case is, like that's and that's thing one thing I didn't want to get lost with the messages as well, because people know that me and you have two totally different ways that we operate, but it's still the same message. Like my whole thing is providing that platform for the artist, the DJ, the radio personality, the whatever. That's the overall message of Homegrown Radio that I want people to get. So I think that kind of got lost within the Thursday nights because it was like, yo, we doing shit over at 923 now. Yeah. So we got that's a priority. So the Thursday nights kind of got lost in the sauce of all that. So if you couldn't make it one night, that was it. Like we didn't have a show because the music was pretty much the core of the actual show.
Well, now I think what's dope about what we're doing now with the new direction of everything is fuck with us when you can.
Yeah.
And every week, we're going to give you something to fuck with.
Some new shit.
So if we give you something to fuck with us.
Right. Might be a guest, may not be a guest.
Yeah.
All right. One other thing that we do have to address, obviously, man, the elephant in the room. Shouts to Miss Bliss, co-host. Homegrown. Like, there would beat. There would not be any ad-libbed Homegrown without Miss Bliss. So another direction that we're taking this go-round is Miss Bliss, man. She is such a strong personality, which is a great thing, that I felt like with the shows that we've had in the past, it always got lost with her being on with the Bliss business and just, you know, her added isms, like everything that was on there. So don't worry, Miss Bliss is still a part of Homegrown, but she has an opportunity now to do the Homegirl Hour. So you can check that out on homegrownradio.net. Be on the lookout for that. She'll make that announcement on when it's going to take place and when you can hear it.
Yeah, we just dropped the bomb.
Man, just letting you know.
she might not be ready set up yet.
Yeah, but she's going to be ready.
But, you know, we just put her on the spot.
Absolutely,
so shout out to Miss Bliss.
And it's always love. We had a sidebar conversation. And, of course, things, when you transition and do different things, it's always a tough conversation to have. So, you know, it's going to be different. Not going to lie. It's going to be different not having Bliss around. But I think it's going to be for the best for not only us, but for her. So she can be in the spotlight where she deserves. I always felt like she didn't get that just due on maybe certain shows or just, you know, It just didn't work. It didn't pan out the way I envisioned it for Miss Bliss. And I feel like with the Homegirl Hour, you're going to get 100% Miss Bliss. Yeah. And she can operate the way she really wants to operate. So be on the lookout for the Homegirl Hour. And, man, speaking of which, man, there's been a lot of stuff, man. We're talking about 2017, starting shit up. A lot of shit has been going on within the last, like, few weeks up till today.
Hey, you know what? I just want to say this.
Bruh. Oh, real quick, before that, we are going to be talking to the homeboy, Abso.
Yes.
We got in an interview and talked to him not too long ago. So in a few minutes, you'll get a chance to hear the conversation we had about his new album, DWTW, Do What Thou Wilt. It's available right now. Going to support that. But to start 2017 off, it's been a lot of conversations going on within the last week. Last week, man. Articles being written about LA radio not supporting LA artists. Now, I wanted to, what was your first take when you saw that article?
Well, when I first saw that, obviously it's clickbait. So okay. Shout out to, what's his name?
Jeff Weiss.
Weiss.
Mm-hmm. Shout out if I'm saying it wrong, my bad. We're going to actually talk to him, too.
Shout out to Jeff Weiss and that article he wrote. When I read the headline, I was like, oh, this is okay. I see what this is because mm-hmm. I know what it is. And I clicked it. And well, I wanted to read the article, so I read the article. After I read the article, I was both happy and I was happy that someone is noticing. I was happy that someone was trying to pay attention.
Okay, what do you mean?
Because a lot of times people kind of like if things don't affect them directly, they don't give a fuck. It's like if you don't have any crackheads in your family, then you don't really give a fuck about crackhead reform. Or if you don't got nobody that's incarcerated in your family, you don't really give a fuck about prison reform.
Okay.
So usually people have self-centered ways of looking at problems. Okay. So I thought it was cool that somebody took an interest to something that they didn't have anything to do with.
Mm.
That's one perspective. The other perspective is, I know this nigga didn't just say that.
Gotcha. And for the record, the article, it's in LA Weekly. If you haven't seen it, it says, why don't Power 106 and Real 92.3 play more LA artists? Now, obviously, folks that may or may not know, we have Homegrown Radio on Real 92.3. We both work for iHeart. DJ Head, he's a DJ. I'm a personality. We also have Homegrown Radio on the platform as well. And the way I looked at it, obviously, it caught my attention, too. I got a couple of texts about it before I saw the article itself. Just asking what I thought about it. So let me actually read the article first. And as I went through it, there were some things that I felt like I understood where the point was going, but there were some bashing moments in there, like in terms of playing Drake and, oh, they need a pass to Canada. And I'm just kind of just going off. I'm not reading it verbatim right now. And again, we're going to actually talk to dude, like, and really have a conversation where we can get his side of the story. But just since it happened recently, it's something that's recent. I was like, dog, like, does he not understand, like, what homegrown radio is all about? Like,
I don't think, but see, the thing is, here's the thing. I don't think that people, well, for one, I'm going to say this to him. I don't necessarily believe it's totally his fault, because maybe our platform is not big enough. Maybe we didn't scratch the surface of his reality.
Right.
All right, I'll take that. That's cool. However, just like I told him directly, if I'm going to do a piece on something, I need to make sure I understand fully what's going on.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to just jump out the window and just be like, yeah, you know, all firefighters should be men. It's like, hold on, bro.
Right.
There's some buff-ass women. There's some buff motherfucking women that'll carry your ass out of building faster than a dude could.
Low key, and I have a cousin that's actually that was a woman firefighter.
So if I'm not gonna do my Googles and I'm not gonna do my just do on what's going on for real, then I'm gonna write a speculative article. I'm not gonna write an article that is supposed to be taking a stance on something.
Well, do you think that in his mind this was a speculative article?
From his perspective, yes.
Mm, okay.
But it's a statement piece.
Got you.
It's not a research piece.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this is what I found, mm-hmm. or this is whom I talked to, or this is what I gathered. It's not none of that. It's
I don't think it's as specific as who, but again.
What I'm saying is he didn't reach out, to my knowledge.
Right.
He didn't reach out to anybody.
Right.
So that's like if the same thing.
Well, according to the article, it says that, you know, I reached out. I didn't reach out. Again, I'm not going to read it right now because I want to wait till he's actually here so I can read it verbatim and have him say what his piece is. But from what I gathered from it was, you know, from the people that I talked to, this is how I understand how radio goes. But from I understand, like, I didn't get the call. You didn't get the call. Who got the call?
My superiors didn't get the call.
Who got the call?
So as far as I know, I don't know who he talked to.
Gotcha.
And that's why it's subjective. We don't know. We don't know until we talk to him.
Right. So we'll be talking to him. All this to say, we'll be talking to Jeff Wise from LA Weekly. And if I said his name wrong, I apologize. We'll correct it the next go round. We'll be talking to him on the next show or in the future at some point and kind of get some justification as to, you know, or clarification rather as to what he actually meant. Because he did. One of the comments said, you know, I feel like you guys, when you responded to him, he said, and even in the email, because I responded to him as well, told him to hit me so we can have a dialogue, basically said, I feel like the conversation or the article wasn't entirely taking, the point got missed. So I want to know what his point was, and we'll have a civilized convo and go from there on the next go round or whatever the case may be. But another thing that's L.A., has been going on the last up to today, man. I kind of want to know what your thoughts on this whole Chris Brown Soulja Boy situation,
bro.
Because it directly hits like home in the sense of like, yo, there's some shit going on.
The problem is this. Here's the thing, and this is a good point to talk about, where people that I know, people that I grew up with, I never want to go back. I never want to go back there.
To the streets.
To the circumstances.
Got you.
I'll go back home and I'll go check in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My grandma still lives in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt still lives in Compton. My grandfather still lives in Compton. Like,
right.
I have family still live in Carson. I have family still live in South Central. Like, I got family all over the east side.
Right.
It's not me never wanting to go back or me like, oh, he's bougie now. No, it's like, I never want to go back to those circumstances. And I post that shit on my Instagram. It's like, when you really from the gutter, you never want to live there again under those circumstances. Like, I grew up with food stamps and welfare and gangs, and I've been chased home. I've been tormented. I've been fucking beat up. I've been in fights. Like, it's not fun. Like, so for people.
Yeah, if you're from L.A. and never at least got banged on.
Yeah, and been hit up.
Right, yeah.
Where you at?
I haven't been through that kind of circumstance, but I've definitely been hit up on a few occasions from my own backyard to somewhere, you know what I'm saying?
I've had guns pulled.
Yeah.
Like, you know where you at?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what he was talking about.
Bruh, I don't think I ever told you about this time that I got banged on Christmas Eve. Like, literally, it was like 11:30 Christmas Eve. You know what I'm saying? I'm leaving a family's house. Shout out to the McCoys, man. We always do like this Christmas Eve thing. And my dumbass, I had to stop and get gas off of Florence and I forgot where it was. Bottom line, I had a fucking blue flannel shirt on, like a dumbass, in the wrong area. And homie looked at me like, hey, bro, we. I'm like, hey, dog, I'm from Carson. I don't get down like that. I get it. Trust me. I wouldn't be over here if I didn't need the gas. He's like, hey, man, like, for real, though, you need to take that. I'm like, bro, just let me get on my business. But bottom line, I'm like, dude. It's Christmas Eve, homie. Like, hey, what the fuck?
Shit don't stop.
Shit don't stop.
Shout out to Perico.
Exactly. Shit don't stop, though.
I think it's dumb, for one, because it's a lot of kids that follow these people.
Right, right. Talking about Soulja Boy and Chris Brown.
It's a lot of kids that follow these dudes, and the kids that I know, when I go to schools all the time, like, everybody know me, I fuck with the kids. But I definitely... And me fucking with kids, I go in and keep it real with them.
Yeah.
I tell them the truth.
But do you think, I mean, and just to keep it 100, like, what would be the circumstance that they would want to take it to that extreme? Because I understand the idea of protection, right? The idea of protection.
Well, no, it's really just people being insecure and lost.
So that's what it is. That's
when
what
you
is.
when you don't know who you are, you take on who you would probably be.
Gotcha.
If you don't know who you are at the core, then it's like, oh, I could probably be that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could probably be that. It's like those people who don't know what the fuck they want to do in life. So they sit in school for 10, 20 years.
Mm.
That's really just so you don't have to face reality.
Damn.
So when people go to school, people go get their double doctorate.
Yeah.
That's really just so you don't have to deal with life. You really don't want to just go work for real and get into a career and settle into a career. It's no different than, like, the 40-year-old uncle or 50-year-old uncle, you know, that be at the club in hard bottoms and a linen suit.
Man, bruh.
It's no different. It's just like, you don't want to...
Never get married.
You don't, don't want to just get into some shit.
Right.
So, like, me and you, we knew we wanted to do radio.
That was it.
So we dove into radio.
And some
people don't know. And I'm not saying that, oh, you need to know what the fuck you're supposed to be doing. But at the same time, if you don't know, say, be honest enough with you, have enough security in yourself and be like, you know, I really don't know what I want to do.
Right.
That's what people need to do.
That actually kind of makes sense because as of today, you know, this is what, Thursday? As of today, Soulja Boy went on. Oh, no, it was yesterday. I think he got on. And for the folks that don't know the story, they were going back and forth on social media for whatever reason. I don't know if it was a girl, if it was Karrueche or whatever. They were going back and forth. And bottom line, just saying that, yeah, I'm from the hood, you from the hood, I'm from the hood. I'm just going back and forth on some nonsense. Soulja Boy actually goes to Compton, got some folks behind him, pretty much co-signing the shit and saying he's from the hood. And, you know, people know that Brown got some folks that back him from the hood as well. And it's just, so I understand that part. It's like, damn, Lord, why would you have fans and you have people that are looking up to you? But to kind of hit on your point, not knowing who you are, like he even said in a post, like, man, mom's is going through some shit. So I've been acting out. Like, so you clearly know that this isn't right.
No, I think people know. It's no way that people, like, unless somebody is completely out of their fucking mind or just ridiculously socially unaware, you know when something's wrong or right and wrong. People know that. It's an innate nature. It's something you were brought up on, something you was taught. You know you probably shouldn't be eating these fucking crayons.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're six, you probably know you shouldn't be pissing yourself. We did everything until we knew better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. So I used to fucking pee on myself until I was potty trained.
What age was that?
I don't know.
I think two.
My mom said, yeah, I think it was two. My mom said I never pissed or shit on myself after I was potty trained. But you used to have shit all up your back. You know what I'm saying? Until you knew better.
Right.
You used to probably say all kind of stuff. You probably would curse on air or anything. But we do everything till we know better. Khaled said something interesting to me. He was like, only reason I'm this big is because nobody told me I couldn't eat like fucked up every day.
Yeah, but I mean, Khaled knows what's up. He's still fucking exercising.
No,
shit
together. Now.
No, I get it. But still, there's still moments when he goes back to that. And that's because of his environment, how he I'm not going to say grew up. But I guess years, it takes years of blocking that. In these situations, I don't know their lifestyles like that. So I don't want to dive too deep into it. But from my understanding, a Soulja Boy didn't grow up in the hood to the point where it was like gangs. Like,
no. As far as I know, he's from Atlanta or Georgia, Mississippi or Georgia, right, whatever. Right. No, he's not from Compton. Now get into that. That's some whole other LA politics shit.
Okay, it's not about that. I'm just saying, why would you at that point? No, you know this is wrong. You know this is wrong. You didn't that wasn't your DNA when you grew up, right? You weren't a part of the gang. That wasn't a part of your shit. Because you can make an argument that somebody that grew up around this shit, you got homies or whatever, you just can't escape that lifestyle. Yeah. But this is somebody, you from Mississippi, come to a whole different area and adopt that lifestyle. You know it's wrong and then continue to do it. Like, Breezy, to me, Breezy is a different story and I don't condone it, but there's no turning back on his end. Once he turned up, he's never said, yo, okay, I'm wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. Soulja just got on record saying, yo, I've been acting out.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you continue to turn up.
Well, I think he just need prayer. Okay. So he fighting some.
Well, they fighting. They literally going to have a fight. So we'll see.
They not
going to
fight.
You don't think so?
No.
The whole money, they.
They not going to fight.
You don't think so?
No.
It's not going to go down.
It's not going to happen.
What do you think is going to stop it?
Chris going to realize what he been doing.
So you think that Chris is going to stop it? Like,
Chris is going to realize that he's been watering his brand down.
And be like, man, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, without further ado, man, we can talk about this shit all day, every day, man. Let's get into this Ab-Soul interview. We talked to the homie about his new album,
Dude Solo Without Ho.
Wilt, Carson in the House.
Delamo City.
Is this Homegrown Radio? Again, are we calling this, is this a podcast? Is this a show? What the fuck is this?
It's just Homegrown.
It's just Homegrown.
Yeah, with us.
Shit, Homegrown, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head. Without further ado, Ab-Soul. Back at it. It's Homegrown Radio, man. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
Man, you gotta give it a better Homegrown than that. Because this is some real Homegrown.
Yeah.
This is really, really Homegrown.
This
right
is really
here.
Homegrown.
This is C. Arson.
This is it.
You know what I'm saying? This is Black and Mild music.
This is,
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yes.
Black.
Flush.
Pastor, Flush. All of that.
Yeah.
Day one right here, man. Yeah. Solo back up in this hole.
Chuck Dizzle, what's happening, man?
Brother, how you feeling, man?
I'm good, brother.
Welcome back, man.
Man, thank you.
Some things are upgraded on all the RNs, man.
Yeah. Every time I see y'all, it's something bigger, huh?
Solo Ho the Prophet.
Hey.
I'm trying to catch up to you, because I ain't going to lie, you passed us up a long time ago.
No.
Flush.
he's like, yeah, that's true. That's true.
You feel me? No, I'm just playing. No, it's love, bro. You know it's love, man. And I'm going to come holler at y'all every single time, man.
As you should, man. And man, the new album's out right now. And I always tell people, when you listen to Soul, you gotta give it some time.
Give
you know what I'm saying?
Time,
I'm on my like sixth or seventh run through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling people off the top, you gotta really let it digest and listen to the project.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Now the last time we had talked to you, we were talking about the whole long term series. You let us know that the fourth one is gonna be the last one.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
My question is, navigating through these projects, is that something that you automatically think of like, all right, this is how I'm going to do this before I get to that? Or is it you go off of life experiences, how you create these projects?
Definitely. Definitely go. I'm rolling with the punches for sure.
But,
you know, like I said, Long Term 4 will be my last album. So I have this in mind. Mm-hmm. The Long Term series is set. Now, you know, Long Term 3 being Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Mm-hmm. Until I'm rich, I can't complete this project.
Right.
And rich, you know what I'm saying? So everything that happens in between time is natural selection.
You know, Long Term 2 is my favorite.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's always going to be my favorite.
I would have never guessed.
Yeah. Flush.
You got to know we in the build. Yeah, like, Carson is really in the house right now, man.
And I was
going to
say the same thing. Actually, Control System is my favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
know
about your favorite.
I'm going to tell you why. Track 2. You know what I'm saying? Got that nice little shout out.
No. But I'm on the album.
That's okay.
I'm on Long Term 2.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm on the version that was actually selling stores.
That's how you
I'm
feel.
Flush.
Okay, so let me tell you something. I want you to tell everybody right now that's listening to us what a pleasure it was to have me on your album.
Oh man, it was such, you know,
like what an honor.
The comedic relief. Right. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's funny about that? Yeah. That's when I just started DJing.
Yeah. Exactly. No,
and you was
sure.
Like, yo, I'm checking you out on the DJ. DJ shit.
We did this. That's what I'm saying. Like, Carson is in the house. We really kind of, you know, came up together. And every time I run into y'all, it's a bigger situation for all of us. And that's what it, that's what it's about, man. That's long term.
Yeah, real
you
talk.
Dig?
Real talk.
Flush.
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 Yes, sir.
Real talk.
How does it feel to no longer be the top dog underdog?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Just saying.
You know, overwhelming.
Yeah.
Overwhelming.
I would think it would be some pressure, you know what I'm saying? But before we get into that, let me rewind real quick, because you did say something interesting as far as lifestyles of the rich and famous. You said you have to get to that level.
Yeah.
People see you eating, bruh.
Yeah.
What's your definition of rich and famous? At this point, people see you, you know, you're definitely doing your thing, so people would automatically assume that you already rich, you already famous. So what's your definition of getting to that point so you can create that project? Not necessarily project, but that lifestyle.
I think it's just a personal, it's a light switch that's just going to click.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just waiting on. It's just, you know, like, as I say, these things happen naturally. Yeah. So I guess one day the light bulb is just going to flick like, hey.
Yeah.
It's time.
I made it. Did it.
All right.
Hey, you know, like, a lot of times when I have off, you know, like, offline conversations about you, you like rapper's favorite rapper.
Yeah, I'm the rapper. Yeah,
you sure. Like rapper's favorite rapper.
Yeah, I'm KRS too.
Oh,
that's my new thing.
Like, when do you know? Like, you know that obviously. Yeah. You're aware of that.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
What's
yeah.
been the most? Like, who's been the most shocking person? Like, yo, are you one of my favorite rappers? Or I like what you're doing. Like the pro, where'd you get the props from? Where you was like, oh, that's kind of crazy right there.
Well, you know, Jay-Z was very top. You know, that
Jay-Z
when Jay-Z reached, you know, he kind of reached out.
He said he fucked with you.
Gave me my pat on the back. And that was kind of a.
That's kind of crazy.
That was kind of enough.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of enough, but you know. Motivation that, you know, confirmation that I'm moving in the right direction.
Cause you wrap hella circles around people.
Yeah, that's like, that's my thing. So I got that from that, you know, from the origins of hip hop. That's what it's about. It started in the circle. It was a competition. So you know.
And what I noticed, is like a lot of people would be like, oh, you know, like. It go over people's head or, you know, some stuff like that. Like, they would always mention, like, how different you are.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, even me, when we was first coming up, like, even in the city, I was like, because we used to hearing mainstream music all the time. We was listening to the other station. They wasn't playing our shit.
Yeah.
So, we used to a certain kind of music.
Like, and certain sound.
The music you was doing it before everybody else.
Correct.
It was always, I would tell Chuck, like, I don't really understand. Like,
correct, yeah.
But that's because I was vibrating on a different frequency.
Exactly. You was coming in as a DJ trying to move the crowd.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And my, you know, this, that, I wasn't trying to cater to that crowd in particular at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
you know, now, you know, come time around now. You know, we could try to touch more people this time. You know what I'm saying? Try to give you something that you could, you know what I'm saying, make a move to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what thou will, man. Where does that stem from? Where does that come from?
Oh, that's a quote from Aleister Crowley. Mm. Real wicked guy. You know what I'm saying? Do your own Googles on him.
Now, is that something where, like you said, it's a light switch where you see that quote and you're like, that's it. Yeah. How do you choose something like that to be the album title versus, oh, man, I'm going to make a song that's that title?
Right. It really sounds like free will.
Mm.
And you know, with free will, you have to be responsible with that. Mm. You know, you have to be responsible and held accountable for all of the decisions that you make with free will. And it just runs parallel with the Christian story as well. And this is, you know, this guy went and did his research in Egypt, and you know, his references are from Cairo. So me taking that information with the information, you know, I'm in the theology and religion. I love to do my Googles. So making the parallels between that time and now, his influence in music, you know what I mean? Not just hip hop, but, you know, music in general, entertainment. I couldn't deny his influence. And I went and found the book that quote is from, the Book of the Law. And then once I bust that down, it just kind of all of these concepts just started flowing, you know.
Your music is similar to what most people say. You know, when people refer to the Bible, they're like, Yo, every time I read the Bible or every time I see a scripture, I find something new.
Yeah.
I feel like your music is the same way.
Church.
I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like in a sense where
church.
You gotta let that shit seep in. You always find something new each time you listen to it.
That's
is that something that you're proud of, or would you rather the audience, or you know, not necessarily mainstream, but just your audience in general, get certain things off the bat?
No, I need you to think about this. Mm. I need you to prove me wrong.
Right.
I need you to say, nah, that was, no, you're wrong. It was, that was 1967.
Wow.
I need that. I'm trying to open the door for discussion.
Got you.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get us to use both sides of the brain. I could be wrong.
Has anybody ever did that? Like, anybody ever hit you up and proved you wrong or challenged you and you was like, you had to step back?
Well, he said a punch, man.
No, I'm saying outside of the camp.
I mean, I try not to dig too deep into the commentary, but I know they ain't all good.
Right.
I know they ain't all good.
With social media just being out there to the point where people have access to you.
Constant access.
No, for sure.
They can jump in the DM.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All of that.
I try not to.
How do you at that point, if you're opening
like Rhett, you see Rhett, look at him, look, he do all this, so just so y'all know.
So, how
blame him, I don't know,
opening the discussion.
Yeah.
How do you go back and forth, or you know, how do you listen to what's being challenged?
I mean, certain things are gonna come to me, cause you know, I got my boy, shout out Doughburger,
shout out to Doughburger up in here,
Alfredo, man. In the building, you know.
We
work together, so all, you know, I got a lot of ears and a lot of opinions. You know, yes men around me. We all just bounce ideas and, you know, keep each other current. And
the filtering process.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it's a team effort. You know what I mean? We work together as a team, make sure we try to touch as many people as possible.
This album, the new album, all right, when you was working on it, did you go into it intentionally, like, thinking about women and feminism and... Like, was that a fourth? Because I know it's heavy. It's heavy.
Yeah,
it's a lot of feminine energy.
I'm Herbie to love, but
there you go.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying, like,
no, I'm saying like
the. When you first sat down, like, okay, I'm working on this project. Did you go into it like, all right, I'm gonna tap into this feminine energy?
I think the book kind of the book opened the door. When I read the book opened the door for more of that. But I've always been, you know. I wrote Double Standards. I always been in tune with, you know, I'm really into equality all across the board, race of the races, of the sexes. I'm all about that. So, you know, Hillary running,
yeah.
It just kind of felt time. It was time,
yeah.
you know, the time was right.
Would you would have been down with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would have too.
For sure. Absolutely.
She's the first woman I've ever voted for.
Clinton, too? Come
She's
on,
She's the first
son.
Woman I ever voted for any public office.
She keep hot sauce in her
She's
bag, bro.
Crazy.
That's love. That's love, B.
You voted this go-round?
Nah, I didn't vote.
Okay.
So I only voted for Obama because, you know, that was for my grandma.
Got you. Had to put him in office.
She really went. She needed, you know, that was huge.
That
she needed, that was huge for her. I wasn't finna have no, I wasn't finna argue with her about that.
Nah, you know what?
No problem.
Jim Crow. Shit. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, but this go around, how are the ladies responding? I mean, like I said, I know it's fresh. So,
oh, it's love, bro.
It's love.
They get it.
Hell of love from women.
Well, they get it. Yeah.
Some people might not get the layer. They hear of something being misogynistic.
No, for sure. I'm ready for those conversations. But for the most part, it's been thank you.
Got you.
And that was the goal. It's been thank you. You feel me?
How do I phrase this question without getting you in some shit?
Nah, do it.
You know, I know the scenario.
If I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble, man. Tell them.
How do you avoid the extra feminine energy? If you
take a sip of that.
Right? Yeah, just marinate on that one. Like, how do you avoid staying in trouble? Because I get in a lot of trouble when it comes to dealing with the fair sex. So like
it's that and that, you know, that's a large part of why I did this album, because we need to be able to communicate on an equal scale. You know, we kind of tend to, you know, we tend to deal with women differently than how we deal with our boys. You know, we gonna use certain words around girls that, you know, we won't, you know, and certain words around the homies that we wouldn't with the girls. And I think the girls might just be ready.
for that conversation.
For you that know what? Conversation. To give them the firm handshake versus, you know.
I think.
I hug the lady. You know what I mean? Yeah. You want a soft handshake with the lady. Hey baby, right, how you right, doing? Right, open right. the door. Be a gentleman.
I think I used I wanted the same to give verbiage. Him the firm what shake. You yeah. think, Chuck?
You do know. You
I talk the same way I'm talking to you.
I mean, you from the Lamo. What you thought?
The response, but I think his point is the response isn't always there. A lot of I'm not gonna say well, a lot of folks aren't ready for that.
No, you know it's no for sure, and it's gonna be it's a practice. It's gonna take time, but we have to be the change we want to see. We got to take the first steps, you know.
Now, how for you shaping this album? I've seen on previous interviews that you were saying that you know it took some time based off the mixing, having to get everything right.
Yeah.
At what point for you, from a time scale, did you know you had this complete?
Man, I thought I had it done a few times, to be honest with you.
So would you say those mistakes, so to speak, were like
perfect, perfect mistakes.
Gotcha.
We're finna have a sweet Christmas.
All right, I see you over there.
Shout out to Luke Cage, man.
Yeah,
it's lit,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Bulletproof love.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you saw, there's something that just posted, I forgot, I don't know what it is, but it's a conversation that some folks is having in a barbershop. I think it was Steve Stout. In a future, you talking about Jay-Z, obviously being one of your favorite rappers.
Yeah,
now he said that Jay's first album wasn't classic until after Biggie and Pac died.
Correct.
Whoa, yeah,
that's kind of wild. That's wild.
Do you agree? Disagree? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, first of all, you know, I like to let them live. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you,
gotcha.
I like to let them rest in paradise. Mm-hmm. But doing my research on the situation, I mean, it looks like I think Jay-Z had a heavy influence on Biggie. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Not the other way around.
I'm sure.
Like vice versa.
I'm sure it's vice versa, but Jay-Z was older.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I think he had an influence on, a major influence on Biggie, if I feel probably more than Biggie had on him. So
yeah, cause usually
he came in, Jay-Z came in older with his own money, his own thing, you know, that, and that was a large part of his concept.
Yeah.
He was supposed to just do that one album and leave. Like he was supposed to do this album, hit the lick and ride off into the sunset, like Carlito's way.
Yeah.
So
Big came in hella produced.
He came in produced. I mean, you know, shout out to Diddy, you know, I mean, they did their thing, but I think Jay was a heavy influence. And in watching Biggie, you know, he was, you know, really probably made the decision that I could do this. I could. And he was ready to, he was with the East Coast, West Coast situation. He was with that.
Yeah.
He wasn't backing down from that.
Yeah.
And as soon as it was over, you know, he already had these lyrics in place before Biggie and Pac passed. So, you know, he wasn't finna delete them just because of the situation. This is what I really said. This is what we were. This is what really happened.
Right.
And after that, he went straight to Dre.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, you know, Jay is my favorite rapper, hands down. And that's just that. I talk in the barbershop about that for hours.
Yeah, no, I just found it interesting because...
Yeah, and it's still West Side.
Hello.
Still Killer Cali, you know.
Let them know. Nah, but I think that a lot of people try to navigate away from that conversation.
Yeah.
Even if you look, there was, like I said, a video on there. Steve, he moved away from Future when he was saying that. He was like,
he don't want to be right there next to him.
And I mean, now, in Future, you know... Future has made a name for himself.
Yeah,
he can sit at the table and speak his mind too. At this point,
right,
for sure.
And a lot of people, even in the comments, were saying that they, you know,
he got a record with Jay now. Exactly. He's been so he's worked with him now, so he can, you know, that's hip hop. He can sit at the table.
You can have that conversation.
He can have that conversation now for sure.
When you was recording this album, I noticed you was having a lot more. You was experimenting a lot more.
Yeah.
I didn't like your versus you, because normally we know you from you rap.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Right.
You'll throw a little bit of twang on it every now and then.
Yeah.
But this one you was doing melody.
Yeah.
You was doing runs.
Right.
Like, you was having a little bit of like a fun with it.
It was a science project.
Okay, that's what I figured. Yeah. Because I noticed on the last track, was it YMF.
Yeah.
I love that song.
It's like rock and roll.
And I'm like, I love it because I know you.
Right.
Like, on some other shit.
Exactly.
So I know you kind of went out there for that one.
Went out on a limb.
Yeah. So and like, where did that come from? Like, did you Was that intentional? Or you were just in the studio?
Well, I was just completely inspired by the record.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my youngin' Bentley. I was very inspired by that record. He did The Law as well. And that was towards the end of me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. My third time around.
I feel like I should know what YMF means. What does that mean?
Well, you got to keep listening. You on your 6th, 7th listen? You ain't got it? That's what I'm saying, God, baby.
I love that song, bro.
There we go. By the end, you should know what YMF means. By the end of the album, you should. I want to just tell you, you know what I'm saying?
But that's the exactly.
That's right.
I got it now.
I was talking to Iday from Big Boys Neighborhood earlier. Yeah. She came in the DJ booth and asked me, she's like, hey, you listen to Solid Project? I'm like, yeah. She was like, what's your favorite song? And I'm like, I like the drugs. song, the acronym. And then also like I think that one, and I like the Wifey or Wi-Fi.
Correct.
But I totally missed YMF.
I'm in a car.
I noticed that's the one I repeat.
Yeah,
when I'm driving.
Yeah,
so I'm like, okay, I think that's my favorite song.
Right.
But what's yours? Did you like? Because I know like it's a couple of them that you took that you went experimental on.
Yeah. Oh man!
Do you find it? Do you like it better in your comfort zone, or like how? Which one did you like doing?
I mean, I had the creative process was, I had so much fun like creating. You know, working with my guy Josh Berg, we like really kind of zed in and found a sound to try to you know mess with different textures of the beats and you know fluctuate with my vocals and those things. So it's kind of difficult for me to say which song I like the best, but Evil Genius, you know, that's very personal. I feel like I struck a nerve with that one. You know, I got to, you know, sample my baby girl. Yeah. I got Tedra Moses on there to back me up. Yeah. Javante, it was really, that record
shout
really
out
hit.
To Tedra Moses.
Yeah, shout out to Tedra.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. leave her alone.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm available.
Nah.
Go to, you know what I'm saying, PF Chang.
Yeah, that record was very, very personal. It really struck a nerve. It really hit home.
Yeah. You know? My favorite, after some time of listening, I was talking to Red at the listening session. And at that time, I was maybe like my third, fourth time listening. But I'm going to have to agree with a man, Lonely Soul, man. That's my shit right there, bro.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
That's my shit.
He's like, yeah, though.
That's off the books. That's my issue with him. Don't worry about that.
Well, see, but I want to get into that because, you know, Punch is on that.
Yeah.
And I saw one of his tweets. He actually said, you know, shout to Doberg.
Oh, I forgot he did that too. That's
actually
honest. Nah. What's the name? You know. Shout out to my man, Doe, you know. No yes men around me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're Huey and Riley. We go hand in hand.
You need that.
You need that. No, for sure. So, you know, in creating the album, you know, we only had so many slots, 16 records, and it came down to it. Doe felt like that record would, you know, the album is very dark.
Yeah.
It's very gray, and, you know, so he felt like I could do without that one because of the energy.
Got you.
What I'm saying? Yeah, he wanted to keep the energy up. He's going to be out there with me at the show, and he doesn't want anybody to fall asleep.
Right.
And so that's all that was.
Performance. He was out for you on the performance.
Live. So, you know, and that's fine. And I was like, we'll take it up a punch. So, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, they went back.
No yes, man. So you got to have those folks around you that's going to tell you in different truth, like
correct.
What they feel about it.
For
you know
sure.
What I'm
for sure.
And that just creates great chemistry. Creates great for just when you're actually in your creative process as well. Because you know off the back, like, damn, are they just saying that shit because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because, you know, Punch is saying his point was like, I'm a poet first. I'm a poet before a performer. Mm. Is that what that was his thing?
Wow.
That's exactly what he said. So we can't really fight with that.
Right.
He can't fight with that, but we gotta do this in live and living color though.
True,
it needs to be live and living color, or it's not even going. It won't even matter. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. If we can't deliver this live, like how we were trying to capture it, it's not even gonna matter.
Wow, man.
When you were talking about, I saw in the interview you was talking about how when you like your process,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And you being well-rounded as far as being able to be you're versatile. Everybody knows you're versatile.
Yeah, for sure.
You can do, you can jump on this type of record.
Yeah.
You can jump on Say What's Up. So now, when you that versatile, do you think it hurts being strong at one thing? Because I noticed that, like, somebody told me that one time. They're like, you need to focus on just this, or just DJing, or just this, and master a craft before you jump into something else.
Crazy, right?
What happened? What? Let us in on it.
It's the conversation, man. I'm real big on, you know, feel like, you know, we need to lay one brick at a time.
Got you.
Need to lay one brick. I think I got that from Will's Wisdom.
Yeah.
Shout out to Will Smith. Lay one brick as perfectly as you can.
Don't say
I'm gonna make the biggest wall. You don't say I'm gonna make the greatest wall ever. You don't keep saying that. You wasting time doing that. You lay every brick as perfectly as you can. I don't care if it takes you a day to lay this one brick. You lay this one brick as perfectly as possible. You look up in a couple years, and you have a wall. So I'm a firm believer in that. And like I said, I mastered rapping. You feel what I'm saying? I feel like I'm a rapper's rapper. We got that part.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to lay another brick. I'm trying to compose music. I'm trying to be an artist. I'm doing, you know, a lot more. I'm challenging myself to, you know, lay another type of brick, because I already laid this one as perfectly as I could. You follow me?
Yeah.
So, you know, be the greatest DJ first. That's going to open up the gateway
to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And you're right.
That's it. I mean, that's just...
No, that's your perspective. That's somebody told me that. And I was like, bro, but you know how you have in your mind, I want to do this.
No,
I want to learn how to fly.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like,
and you know what's funny, though, Head, is that, like, subconsciously, you've been laying this one brick, though. As far removed as we be, I still know you as DJ Head, and we still here doing that.
Yeah.
The homies, I'm in New York. I'm in New York. I couldn't be here when my album dropped. I'm in New York doing the press, and, you know, the homies is sending me to, you know, they on their way to work. Head on their trip and talking to Big, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me?
I was on there, shout out to Big
Boy.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to Big Boy, man. You know, you feel me? Like, that was dope. Feel what I'm saying? I'm like, we're really here. This is crazy. Yeah. Where's Tasha?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Tasha.
Where the tacos at? Where my Tootsie Rolls at, dog? If you're listening, I'm hot.
Yeah, I'm hot. I'm hot. What about a Yummy Creation?
You got a care package on the way.
Okay,
bro.
For sure.
Nah, but it's dope to see those memories. Again, to go back and see, speaking of Jay-Z, that when he did the remix for Kendrick, and you guys being in the studio, like, yo, we, like, at that moment, I think we all felt that, like, damn, dude, they made it. You know what I'm saying? This is it. Even though the success was there, it's just like, now the world knows. And it's, y'all been running ever since. And it's one of those moments you're just fucking proud of that shit.
It's an exhale.
Every single time, I don't care where we at, I'll say that shit. Even though it's nothing for you guys to come up here and show love back to us, I'm gonna always show gratitude and just show appreciation, because y'all motherfuckers day one, man.
I'm saying Chuck Dizzleton came and hollered at my mom's, man. Yeah. You gotta know this is deep. You feel me? Head stayed around the corner, man.
Yeah.
This is love. Like, this is long term. This is what it represents. You feel what I'm saying?
You know what I was talking to. I forgot who I was talking to. Damn, I can't. I wish I could remember, because the conversation was a bar.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually remember, like, seeing you walk on Annalie.
Yeah.
Wow.
They was like, I actually drove by this motherfucker.
Yeah. So they hear that in the rhyme.
Right. Walking on Annalie. Yeah. And I was like, bro, like, that's crazy, because everybody from the city, if you listening, you from LA, you from our side of town, we all from Carson.
Exactly.
Me and Soul from Delamo, Chuck from the Patch.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, Soul would be the only motherfucker walking around Carson with some shades on by himself, no matter what time it is. 8 o'clock in the morning, walking to work.
Go to the Arco. Give me a black.
Yep.
Black and Mild music. That's where that came from.
Somebody told me they passed you walking one day,
right?
And it was like, yeah, he kind of had hair and shade. He had shade. Yeah, that was him.
I did it till I couldn't.
Yep.
You feel what I'm saying? I did it till I could. Till everybody was trying to give me a ride.
Now,
facts.
You You picked one out the bag with the one you got some tracks from, well, a track from Willie B.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Shout out to the ugly homie,
yeah,
Willie B.
Shout out to homie.
Icky Bun.
The Icky Bun.
You hella ugly,
oh,
bro.
My mama, God.
Hella ugly.
Right. William.
Right. But give us some insight of who the Pac Music Group is, man.
Oh, man. Those are my guys, man. J-Mo Graphic.
Yeah.
That's some runs you was talking
about. Yeah, some runs I was talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, them my boys, though, from the ground, though, man. Top notch, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? My squad. Python P, North Star, the God, Lord Legend, you know what I'm saying? We all here, man.
In-house,
you feel me?
I love the fact that you...
This was an excellent introduction for them.
I was going to say, I love the fact that you got them on there, man, mm-hmm. gave them that shine for sure. And it just shows, again, that homegrown love that you...
Top-notch to my fucking socks.
Absolutely.
Say I'm not. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
All... These the homies. These are them. Those are those homies.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Now, quick question. I remember you mentioned that the album was dark. It was one song. I don't remember. You got to refresh my memory. It was one song where you talking about Lori being upset with, or you being, I forgot what it was.
That's the Lonely Soul joint. Yeah.
Okay, the Lonely Soul joint, where you was talking about how you was feeling a certain kind of way, and, you know, she would, you don't, I don't want to fuck the context up.
No,
but I was listening, and I was listening because I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I was there.
Right.
So, when I'm listening, like, I think that you telling that side of the story, as far as, listen to Lonely Soul.
Yeah.
If everybody listen to Lonely Soul, you'll get a sense. He puts you right there.
Right.
The emotion in that,
yeah,
I think allows people to connect with you differently than a lot of other artists.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't open up.
Correct.
And be vulnerable on songs. And I think that's what makes different artists great.
Yeah,
that's what makes Kanye great. That's what makes, you know, everybody who's a legend, they were vulnerable at some point in time.
Yeah, it's all, I feel like a large part of what we're doing is giving our testimony. I think the people that we respect the most are the people that keep going through, you know, the people that have survived the most. You feel what I'm saying? So I have that embedded in me. I have a will to, a responsibility to give that sincerity. You feel what I'm saying? That really happened to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess we were saying earlier, these are probably the things that shaped my women appreciation. These, you know, these things, it doesn't go away.
Right.
These things, these feelings, these it doesn't go. You know how tight y'all know.
Was there.
So I'm saying, you know, she was the first lady of high power. That those feelings don't go, they don't go away. You don't just forget about something and just move on. So that is exactly how I felt. That's how I feel. That record, that's like the tone of my, that's the tone of my life right now. But we still have work to do. You feel what I'm saying? We still have work to do. We got to get up and keep going. I know she's watching.
Oh yeah,
you feel me? So.
What, who was on the end of Wifey and Wi-Fi? It was rapping in
that shit was hard.
Who the fuck was that?
That shit was hard. They was banging. I mean, they was doing
that Sugar Free shit.
Yeah, that was the homie. Yeah, that was
banging on the table.
Yeah, that was the homie, Baby Rome from the hood, man.
Shout out to Rome.
Shout out to Rome, man.
Bro, that shit was hard, bro.
Hold your head. He in there doing his thing, doing his time right now. Hold your head, man. You feel me? We gonna hold it down.
Absolutely, man.
Younger from the Llama with a belt by Ferragamo.
Hello.
Man. Hey.
So are there any expectations that you have once you release, like, when you release a body of work, do you just kind of just put it out there and hope people get it, hope people don't get it, up for the conversation, or what's your thoughts when you actually put shit out?
Well, no, it's got to, we got to come to a, oh yeah, they gonna love this.
Mm-hmm.
They gonna love this. This gotta, you gotta have that before it before it goes out for sure. Let's just see what they say. It's gotta be like, oh nah, this is crazy. They
the only reason why I say that is because, again, the way the audience now, sometimes it's more of a simplistic way of thinking. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes they just go for the beat or just go for just the
but that's why we here. We've been, it's been like that since the jump. Hey, I just told you, we've been homies.
Right. Yeah.
And he gonna support me regardless. Yeah. But he just told you himself, he couldn't quite
I wasn't tapped in.
He wasn't quite tapped in. You feel what I'm saying? Because he was catering to another audience.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I had to stay true to that,
gotcha,
in hopes that he would eventually come around.
Right.
If I tried to conform and to do what he wanted and to cater to him instead of bringing him to me, I don't think we, none of us would be sitting right here probably.
Yeah, low key.
Type, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because so, we would have done the same thing.
Y'all would have started trying to probably conform too. Like, right. Well, you know, let's just do it. Let's just give them what they want.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's, we have to stand, you have to stand, this hip hop. Yeah. You stand firm in your distinction, you know, keep your fingerprint. I'm not dumbing it down.
Yeah.
It's only gonna get more. It's only gonna get wittier.
So my aim is to, it's like, okay, you can listen and say, I'm going over your head. Okay. My goal is like, bro, you should feel like you should know this. I wanna make you feel like, what did the nigga just say? Like,
right.
What? He was just talking about the hood. He was just talking about the ball man. He just had the ball man's on. He's talking about, what is that? Hey, you know, I'm trying to get the mind to move. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's so vast.
Yeah.
We only use such a small portion of it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, YMF, man.
Yeah, and that's what the fuck, man. I'm gonna get that shit, dude.
You gonna Google it? Is that what you about to say? You can't Google that.
No, I ain't gonna Google the shit, but I'm just saying.
Right. It's probably on there now. It's for sure. It's probably on there now.
Oh, you about to get murdered on the internet.
Right. Right.
The slander is real for Chuck Dizzle.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right.
Any tour set up, anything that you that the fans can look for.
Oh man, that's what he's doing right now. Look at, you know what I'm saying?
He's on the tour. Where's the first date, Red One?
You feel me?
Hey, man, we
send that check. He just waiting on that check.
What's the first date?
Come on, give me.
He waiting on that check.
Right. No, what's the first date, Red? Come on, man.
They ain't sent the check. They ain't sent the check.
What's the first date, bro?
Then he got to send a check to Top. Leave him out of this, dog. But no, we coming, man. We going everywhere.
Do what thou wilt, man.
We gonna take this thing on the road, man. Look for us.
We always ask this, man.
DJ Head on the tours.
Yeah.
Why not? Let's just go ahead.
Hey, shit. Flush. Shout out to my man, little T1, man, on the ones and twos, man. He holding
shout
this
out
thing,
to T1. I'm fucking T1, man.
The year can't end without Absol doing what? 2017 with it now. The year can't end. We fresh for the new year, man.
A year from today.
Any goals that you got
within 365 days, what has to happen?
We ain't talked about this, Lil Riley.
He said. Not yet, huh?
Tibet? You trying to go to Tibet for the year? No, for the year's over? No, we ain't going to make it, little friend.
No, a year from today.
Oh, yeah, we're going to Tibet.
Tibet. Why Tibet?
Because we just need to, you know what I'm saying? We need to be clean in mind, body, and spirit.
Hey.
And we need to just, you feel me? We need to go get right. You know, I'm the shaman rhyming.
Hey.
You feel me? We got to practice what we preach. You feel me?
How much was traveling shaped into the music as well? Like, you know, cause
you got to see the world, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was like bi-coastal. I was living in New York with my shorty in the Bronx. So I got to go to the origin of hip hop, KRS-II. Mm. You dig? And that was a great experience, man. Shout out to, you know, NYC, man. You can make, God bless those people. Yeah. You can make it there. You can make it anywhere. Jesus.
Oh, no.
For sure. So, that, you know, I think that humbled me a lot. You know what I'm saying? It made me appreciate everything that we got to look forward to, for real. You know, made me more of a responsible adult, you know, getting away from the nest and, you know, doing it like that.
That's wild, man. I mean, it's... Again, I'm talking to you, I'm just thinking of being in the fucking van, man.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers leaving you in the van, going to the club.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like seeing all that shit. To just
y'all wasn't in
right
the J-Rock.
Now,
y'all wasn't in the J-Rock van.
In the J-Rock van.
You know?
Wow.
Real talk, we've been through the mud for this, so you got to know this. You know, this long term concept is real.
Yeah,
it's real.
Have you gotten a response back? And we'll end with this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten a response back from Jay Electronica?
No.
Do you guys have that kind of that open communication where?
Nah, I know he's laughing right now though. That's funny. I know why he said what he said. Right. Trust me, and we'll keep that between the gods.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? The gods move in silence.
Is there anything else you want your folks to know, man, while we keeping it homegrown, bro?
Man, love is the law. Love is the only law. That's it. That's all I want you to take. If you don't take nothing else, man, even, I don't care if you don't cop my album. Just know that it's love. And that's the only law. Do what thou wilt. It's out now. Go get it.
Solo Hold a Prophet.
Church. Chuck Dizzle.
DJ head.
Carson's in the building.
Radio. Carson's in the house.
One time for the homie Ab Soul, man.
Solo ho.
Do What Thou Wilt. Available right now. Going to grab that once again. Chuck Dizzle, DJ head.
Yes, sir.
This is homegrown, man.
Hey, you know what? Shout out to everybody that's been rocking with us.
low key, man.
And shout out to Big Boy.
Hey, bruh.
I just want to say that. And I make sure I say that on record.
Salute to the big homie. Straight
up. People, I've heard a lot of things over the years. And one thing nobody could ever say is he don't look out. Like, he's given so many opportunities to so many different people. And so many different people may have this positive things to say. A lot of people have more positive things to say than anything.
Right, right.
But there might be somebody out there that's like, I'm telling you right now firsthand, like, in the last 2 years, nobody has been more impactful in my life than Big Boy and Fuzz.
Love. Yeah, straight up. Straight
so shout out to them.
Yeah, man. And we've been getting a lot of calls, man, about actually being on. Man, Big just showed a lot of love, bro. Putting us on that platform for Big Boy's Neighborhood, and while he was interviewing Ab Soul and bringing us on, talking about the impact of homegrown radio, was just fucking huge. Like, I had to step back. Like, low-key, that was one of those moments in my career where I'm just like, yo, this is actually a moment. I have to step back and really just appreciate this for what it was. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to everybody that actually heard that live on Real 92.3, Big Boy's Neighborhood. Gotta salute the big homie, Big Boy, just for always being you, being authentic, being LA, and embracing us as little bro. So, thank you so much, man. Appreciate that. And for the record, I know what the YMF stands for now.
What does it stand for?
I'm not going to tell y'all. Like, they got to figure it out. I want you guys to hit me and see if you know. I know now. Because I after the interview.
Just fucking tell me.
Nah, hell no. Nah. I'll tell you after this, but shit.
Son of a bitch.
Exactly. At I Am Chuck Dizzle.
At DJ HED.
At Homegrown Radio. Until next time, which will be our conversation with Jeff Wise. And if I said it wrong, my bad, of LA Weekly about his article.
Yay, Jeff's coming.
Why don't Power 106 and Real 92.3 play more LA hip hop?
Yay, Jeff's coming.
We'll talk to him next on the next Homegrown. So y'all stay tuned. Woo! This is Homegrown, damn it.